Okay, in the second half of this program, I want to go into a little bit of explanation of organization of the way I have to begin to think and handle the way the news is gushing out. There are so many names, there's so many pieces of this international puzzle. How did America become ITT or Exxon or Dow Chemical? What was it that turned what we thought was a nation into a corporation, what Patachevsky was talking about? The major event that I can see after World War II that really turned things around, and I want to talk about those events in this half hour, and then the subsequent items that are breaking now, was the first thing that I think was important was the killing of John Kennedy in 1963. And killing Kennedy was bad enough, but the first cover-up that I began to study, at least, I could go back to Alger Hiss or the Rosenbergs or the cause of World War II, but starting in September 64, the Warren Report was the first cover-up of the killing of the President of the United States. And the members of that Warren Commission covered up the involvement of our own agencies, the CIA, the use of organized crime, the use of the Pentagon and Defense Department, the international funding from Rome, Italy, that's linked now to Licio Gelli and the Italian scandal, the use of the church and the Antichrist and the fighting the Antichrist, the anti-communist group, the fanatical desire to put down anything that even touched of socialism or social reform became linked with communism or Antichrist. And there was also an anti-Catholic pitch to this that's going to come out more, you'll see it more as time goes on, and the use of Nazis in the CIA, in the Defense Department, with organized crime. You had a front of people working together, the Defense Department, the federal agencies, organized crime, and Nazis from Germany, that were protected by the Warren Report in 1964. Watergate came along in 1972. There was no big investigation of Robert Kennedy or Martin Luther King's death. And when they got caught at Watergate, the same team, the same gang, they were investigated by the Senate Select Committee and Leon Jaworski, and that was the second major cover-up of a lot of killings, as they killed their major witnesses during the Watergate hearings, and witnesses of the Kennedy assassination were also being murdered. Then the Rockefeller Report came out in 1975, and that was the third cover-up. Ronald Reagan was on that team, and when the Watergate story became unglued and started going back to Dallas, they quickly came out with the Rockefeller Report on domestic operations. That was followed by a fourth cover-up, Representative Pike's report, where he mentioned 400 agents of the news media who worked with the intelligence community, and they were never identified for us. And Daniel Shore was removed from his programs and on the air. And then the Korea Gate came along, the paying off of members of Congress, the Korean CIA, and the compromising of our Congress, and that was another cover-up. Then the Senator Church Committee began investigating the murder of political leaders by the CIA, Patrice Lumumba in the Congo, Fidel Castro, the attempted murders, many of them, and they're still going on from 1961 up to the present date, the attempts to murder him, the murder of Trujillo in the Dominican Republic, and Rene Schneider down in Chile, and of course then followed the murder of Salvador Allende. Richard Nixon said in 1970, he told CIA Director Richard Helms that Allende regime would not be acceptable to the United States. Those were his words, and their hearing had that printed in there. It wasn't acceptable that they have this man elected president. So these cover-ups were going on continuously. The Senator Church Committee, then there was Sam Ervin's investigation of mind control programs and institutions of prisons and hospitals doing mind control programs. And that was another cover-up. That was a seventh cover-up because it went into the testing of the CIA, not the administration. Once you discover how to make aspirin, you don't test it every year. You have the formula or penicillin, and you just start distributing. So the distribution's going on now, the medical and the physical mind control, the operations, the electrode implants, and the hypnosis, and whatever it takes to make assassins remember, forget, or to kill, or to lose their minds, or to commit suicide, all the things that they had in their hearings, the way to cause schizophrenia, so a doctor won't recognize it, and so forth. They called those testing programs where they really were administered. So that all held from 1963, pretty firm up through 1975. The people that had been murdering their own witnesses, even during the hearings, the Senate hearings of Senator Church, primary witnesses were being killed right and left, like John Roselli, Jimmy Hoffa, Sam Giancana, George DeMorenschild, William Sullivan of the CIA, Carlos Prio Siqueiros, the former president of Cuba. This isn't about those murders, but the line or the dike or the cover-ups of these illegal actions were holding until 1978. They did pretty good until from 1963 until 1978. Then the House Select Committee on Assassinations issued their report. And the report came out with the conclusion that there was a conspiracy to kill the President of the United States and to kill Martin Luther King, the President John Kennedy, and they went as far as saying organized crime, but they said there was a conspiracy. Now, there were a series of events, important articles, and important events that I'm going to run down in chronological order that envelop, they include all the names that I've been throwing out on the air for the last few months. I've given you many, many names, but I'm charting these events, and then I have large graph paper, and I'm putting cities and states and countries and banks and the modus operandi where they all overlap and interconnect, because what I'm listing for you is interrelated. It's not isolated. While the House Select Committee was doing their investigation of Martin Luther King, and before they got the John Kennedy investigation, or at the same time, Jonestown happened. That was November 19th, 1978. And that involved weapon caches, mind control, criminal experiments against people, Nazis, drugs, and so forth. 1978 to 1979 was when Michael Sindona was locked up. The Franklin National Bank crashed in 74. But his links to the CIA, the Vatican, the organized crime, to John Connolly, the Gambino family, and so forth, the Sindona story got full-blown 1978 and 79. January 28, 1980, a few months later, Frank Nugent was found murdered with William Colby, the CIA director's name and information about him. That bank was blown up, exposed. The $500 million to $1 billion was missing. In Australia, it involved people like John Paisley, going back to Kennedy assassination, George Bush, our vice president right now, Mr. Pipes, one of the big officials under Haig, Alexander Haig, the National Security Council, the Nugent Bank collapsed, and Frank Nugent was murdered. 12 people directly linked to that have been murdered, and many more since, January 28, 1980. 2 months later, March the 10th, 1980, Gene Harris shot Dr. Tarnower up in Westchester. Now, that story involves organized crime, mystery trips, the CIA, trips to China, Russia, Africa, Gulf Western. That has not even been scratched. The story of why Dr. Tarnower had to be murdered and Gene Harris, the instrument and the co-partner of him in these various operations. But 2 months after the Nugent Bank collapsed, and shortly after the Michael Sindona conviction, the Tarnower murder took place in Westchester, New York. And by March the 10th, 1980, the exposures began to come out about the Wells Fargo Bank in California with the $200 to $300 million missing. That was this year. The Wells Fargo interlocking links became more evident in 1981, but that was just at the beginning of this year, the Wells Fargo story, connections to Guyana, Australia, Nigeria, and so forth. That was a very important event. December the 8th, 1980, John Lennon was murdered, and this Mark David Chapman had been from DeKalb, Georgia, Beirut, Lebanon, Fort Chaffee, Tennessee, with the CIA, Laotians and Vietnamese, Hawaii, Zurich, Switzerland, and London. He had important connections and was not separate from these events. The newspaper stories were breaking right and left, and every one of these has a relationship over and over again to each other. But in March 1981, this is March 30th, Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley, and the connections of John Hinckley Sr. have yet to be revealed. the Christian Front organizations, the CIA, his AID links through World Vision to Cambodia, Nigeria, El Salvador, the attorney they use, Edward Bennett Williams, John Connolly's buddy, and their links to George Bush and so forth. I'm taking these names and events and putting them in a long list of pages going down and then cross-filing and charting the interconnecting links. May the 13th, Pope John Paul II, the attempted murder of the Pope, the Reagan murder didn't happen, but we don't know the consequences of the shooting. We don't know how the Pope will survive or the consequences of that shooting. They got the message, and they're very quiet, and so far, I don't doubt if they'll ever say a word about that. And then May 30th, 7 days or so, or 23rd, after the Pope was shot in Rome, the Masonic scandal that had been going on since World War II broke open. The head of the organization, the fascist head that wants world Nazism, fled to Argentina, and he's hiding down there, and his daughter was arrested with documents about the CIA in her pocket. Also, there was that covert operation shortly before Ronald Reagan was shot down at Crystal River that was described in a new article, Counter Spy, or Covert Action, rather, the Caribbean Coup Attempt. This was an important event. This was March the 20th at Crystal River in Florida, where these men were picked up near an atomic plant, and we didn't see their names. And then later they were involved in the Dominican invasion try down in Central America here, and this also, again, involved the name Connolly, the world Nazi organizations from Canada, the United States, the head of the Klan. It involves Houston, Texas. It involves using Dominica. They want to use it as a narcotics operation, gun running to South Africa, using swastikas, and sending out Nazi literature all over the world. Now, the important articles that came out recently, and I've had them individually on other programs, that are throwing these names, interweaving them in and out, that I've been using. The first one was that June 14th New York Times article by Seymour Hersh called The Gaddafi Connection. The next one was the following week in the New York Times, June 21st, exposing the Libyan link. It has more to do with the United States and our CIA and our Defense Department and our modus operandi than it ever has to do with Libya, and I think I've mentioned that to you before. And then a week later, July the 1st, The Village Voice, Alexander Cockburn and Ridgway had an article or have called The CIA Australia and the Nugent Hand Bank in Australia. Now, I'm making note on a chart of the source of the information, how it's coming out at this time, like a New York Times article, and the date of the information, and then, as I say, making a link of the names that are involved, the cities and the countries, the organizations, and charting this out. I did this when the Watergate story first broke. I would take each day, every article, and put the new names, the new cities, the places, and began to assemble these people into some kind of a chronological and alphabetical order. But the way the system is getting unglued now, and I use the word unglued, is that many important articles, full-page newspaper articles, not little tiny articles, are coming out, and if you know how to look, you'll get these names and pieces of information and be able to start to put some of this together. Well, we had the New York Times articles by Seymour Hersh, and he's now writing a book about Henry Kissinger. I hope it's a Lulu and a good one about Kissinger and his Nazi friend Fritz Kramer and Alexander Haig. But getting back to the Village Voice, July the 1st, excellent article on the CIA and the Nugent Hand Bank, which goes into the very people that are mentioned by Seymour Hersh in the New York Times articles just preceding these. Then the covert action, I call it Counter Spy, it's the Covert Action newspaper that's put out. If you don't have it, P.O. Box 50272, Washington, D.C., 20004. Now, they have a list of the characters of the Crystal River plan that got off because I want to have time at length to go into this operation and what it really means. And they were planning to assassinate somebody in the United States. They had assassination plans. And the Dominican invasion can't be put off from just the standpoint of a bunch of kooks. The Caribbean coup attempt in covert action and the description of these people in that issue is very, very important. Then the Washington Post, July the 12th, had the article that I've mentioned on the air, The Mystery Angel of the New Right, Richard Mellon Scaife. Now, the Mellon family are not new money. They're the richest family in America, probably, the Gulf Oil family. And Ms. Richard Mellon Scaife, his sister, one of the Mellons, was married to Senator John Warner, who lives next door to Edwin Wilson. And I don't know what the Mellon money or influence had, but I'm sure that there's an intertwining group between this Senator John Warner, who is very, very conservative, and Mellon, who was up the money for the far right. That involves Young Americans for Freedom, Richard Vagary, and again, going back to the John Kennedy assassination, the group that was brought to Dallas from Germany by Nazis in Germany and neo-Nazis in the United States government. I don't like to use the word neo, but these were Americans that brought in people and Nazis and people who were wearing swastikas and armbands into the Dallas-Fort Worth area for the purposes of being used at the time of the Kennedy assassination. The Washington Post ran their story, full large thing, on Richard Mellon Scaife. And then the Los Angeles Times ran, this is June 24th, a story, Moneymaker Turning to Role of Kingmaker. And this is David Murdoch. And this is a very excellent story. And there's one in November 1979 of Fortune magazine that I just got on David Murdoch, and I'm outlining that too. And the reason I decided to run down these names for you and the sources of information for future programs is because in outlining the Fortune article about David Murdoch, I realized how many bases he's hitting here with the Watergate team, the Kennedy assassins, the countries, the interests, the preponderance of interest in Australia, New Zealand, and insurance firms, and the where he gets his funding, and the secrecy of David Murdoch. There are men like Howard Hughes and Daniel Ludwig and David Murdoch, the self-educated, didn't get through high school, became multi-billionaires, set up dummy fronts, set up fronts in their name, privately owned corporations that nobody can go to, taxpayers don't know what goes on, and they can fund unlimited espionage operations because they're totally owned by these people. So they go from, well, Howard Hughes didn't start from scratch. He had an education, but Murdoch and some of these other new giants didn't have that kind of an education. They started with nothing and become these multimillionaires with mysterious secret backgrounds. Then the Los Angeles Times, August the 2nd, had a two-part article. One article was in one section, not the business section, saying, From Oil to Films, a Giant Step. And that's about Marvin Davis, who I mentioned briefly last week. He bought 20th Century Fox, the Pebble Beach Corporation. And this is a very important article for you to get August the 2nd, 1981, from the Los Angeles Times. Then in the business section of the Los Angeles Times, their same issue, August the 2nd, 1981, is a large picture, a full page, The Takeover of Fox, a Drama of Wealth, Intrigue, and Passion. Now, when I wrote my articles on the SLA or Watergate or the Senate Select Committee, those are my first published articles that I did in The Realist for Paul Krasner. And I thought that the ground rules were to put a cast of characters, to put their personalities and what the people involved did and where they worked and where they came from, then have a chronological succession of how the events preceded or took place that led up to finding themselves, say, at the Watergate Hotel or the Patty Hearst kidnapped by the SLA, and how the Watergate was covered up by Sam Ervin and the Senate and Howard Baker and that gang. But I put my article in chronological order, and I had a cast of characters, my articles. Well, Los Angeles Times does that. And for the first time, maybe this will be a journalistic style. This is the way these things should be if they're to inform you. You don't need flowery introductions and all kinds of words to flow that melt things together. They have the cast of characters, they have the pictures of them, they have events in chronological order, because this, what they call this drama of wealth, intrigue, and passion, involves removing and having fired a man who was president of 20th century for 10 years, Mr. Stanfill graduated from Annapolis, also with Mr. Turner and Jimmy Carter. And to take over a man close to Frank Sinatra, to Gerald Ford, who was on the Warren Commission and covered up the killing of John Kennedy for the Nazis and for Navy intelligence, a man who immediately put on this board of directors Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford, and Madame Chenault's on that board, and Princess Grace of Monaco. You have a very international group of people, and they've been involved in espionage and intrigue for a long, long time, and going back, certainly, say, to the era of the Kennedy assassination, Sinatra and Kissinger and the Gerald Ford and the whole gang. So that these news articles are very important. There's some good stories about Mr. Casey and Max Ugel and Thurl Wheeler murder in Oklahoma that's linked to Illinois, and to Boston, the Telex president who was murdered recently. There are a lot of people, a lot of witnesses to what I'm talking about being killed. I don't even have time to run down in the program the news story that is breaking, and alongside about the name of the person who was murdered just prior to it breaking, such as the arrest of the big drug kings down in Florida, and then right at simultaneously the airplane crash of Torrijos, or the McNeil brother, June 1st, and these other stories falling right on top of that, new exposés coming up. There's an exposure, there's a death, there's death of primary witnesses, and in order to hold the line, and I call it holding the line, because these people are really have to be running scared, they have to kill each other off. They have various ways to do it. They have car crashes, they have their cancers, they have putting them in car compressors, the back truck, like Jimmy Hoffa. They gun them down like Sam Giancana, cut them up and put them in a drum like John Rosselli. They can shoot them in hunting accidents like William Sullivan. But there are a tremendous amount of obituaries that are simultaneously taking place. And what I think is happening is that the interlocking links of these pieces are coming apart. Now, some of these writers that are doing these things don't even see all the connecting links, but they know something is happening. I don't know the reason why so many pieces of information are flowing together at this time. I think some people are genuinely afraid of Ronald Reagan and Alexander Haig and fear that we're on the brink of World War III. Some people felt that Haig attempted a coup and was very overt in his so-called takeover as soon as Reagan was shot. A lot of people know for a long time that these conspiracies went on. I'm not the only person. I didn't pull them out of my hat. These names are interlocking names that good authors and good documents and Senate hearings and investigations and congressional hearings and court cases have put together. And a lot of journalists, in writing their particular article, whether it's about the killings in Santa Barbara or the Nugenhand Bank, may not be making the connections, but by throwing out the names, the organizations, the institutions, they're providing pieces that are interlocking and fitting together. And there's too much money floating around missing. Hundreds of millions of dollars that has been involved in gun running, illegal shipping of weapons to South Africa, training assassination teams. It's used for espionage. It's linked to organized crime, narcotics, and there's no way to solve the bank mysteries and the narcotic traffic without tapping into those main stories that I've mentioned to you before. In closing, I just want to give you again another quotation. This isn't from Patty Chayefsky, but this is Kenneth Lamott. I picked up a copy of his book. I have one at a book sale yesterday. He wrote a book called Anti-California Report from Our First Parafascist State. Lamont died an early death. He died last year. He wrote this in 1963. This was 18 years ago. And he warned us about what was going to take place, what's happening today. What we see in our headlines today and the insanity we see didn't just happen this way. You don't just wake up and find all these crazy things that are going on. They've been going on for a long time. If you wanted to see them, it's like the lines and network. It's there if you want to see it. If you don't watch the tube, if you turn it off, if you read the papers, if you have conversations, you'll know that these things are going on, and the tube is there to entertain you. And if you want entertainment, turn the tube on. And if you want to know the future, maybe read Kenneth Lamont's book, Anti-California Report from Our First Parafascist State. He has a picture of Ronald Reagan, our great governor of California, and he said 18 years ago, here in California, we are to begin with governed by a charismatic buffoon. Men so clownish, it's hard to take them seriously as politicians. Men who are not reluctant to use their tremendous powers. See, it isn't California's problem anymore. It's yours back there in New York or London or wherever you go. This is your problem now. It's not just California. He said they use their power. We are the garrison state preeminent, with one-third of the people here depending for daily bread on bombs, missiles, napalm, and other obscene items found in the catalog of death. We are engaged in open warfare against an internal enemy who's described in terms that would have instructed Goebbels. Goebbels was Hitler's great chief, in case you young people don't know who Goebbels is, because you probably don't see his name on television. And then he says that enemy, of course, is our own young people. And he goes into the problems in the Golden Gate Park, at Isla Vista, the riots up at the University of California, and he refers to S.I. Hayakawa and Ronald Reagan. He says there's a frightening report. This is an account of corruption in California, problems with San Quentin inmates, and so forth. Kenneth Lamont was in the Navy. He had a good education. He graduated from Yale. But he understood California perfectly 18 years ago. He wrote that a long time ago. And now the man that he wrote that about is the President of the United States, and he's out there chopping wood, ha-ha, and he's riding his horse, ha-ha, and he has plenty of problems because he put in as his CIA director Mr. Casey, who was a close associate of Robert Vesco. And if Bobby Hall wasn't murdered, we'd have a different story about Ronald Reagan and Paul Laxalt, who put him into office, and the California mob and Frank Sinatra, and Ed Davis, the Los Angeles police chief who got the tapes of Bobby Hall, and we'd learn about Howard Hughes and Robert Mayhew and the assassination teams. But Bobby Hall was shot. He was shot through a window eating some cherries. I think it was a July evening a few years ago, and the tape recordings that tell about these shenanigans are on those tapes. But many people know what's going on. Edwin Wilson knows. Frank Turple knows. Michael Sindona knows. Michael Hahn knows. I could go on, and I do say that there's too many people that know. Every time Wilson makes a bargain to bring in a few dead people for his immunity, then it backfires and another thing happens that it will expose the intrigues that are going on. This is a complicated series of events that have taken place for the past 18 years. I'm going to try sometimes to update you on a list of them and other times just talk about one particular event and set that straight. But I want you to know that there are many good pieces of information there now if you want to read them. And if you want to write to me, I'll send you the printed sources so you can look them up. In the meanwhile, turn off your TV, do what Patty Chayefsky told you to do, start reading and figuring things out and studying it more, because it's only your life, and why give it to them so easily? In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. You take care, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
This is Timothy Leary, broadcasting from KLRB Carmel, your high orbital station on planet Earth.
The Taj Express, a series of contemporary Indian stories.
Time now for the Taj Express on KLRB FM 102. Brought to you by the Pilgrim's Way Metaphysical Bookstore, located near the post office in Carmel on Dolores near 6th. At the Pilgrim's Way, you'll find a unique selection of natural crystals, New Age music tapes, meditation and healing tapes, as well as books on the occult, alchemy, tarot, oriental philosophy, astrology, and other interesting subjects. Many of the secrets of the universe were discovered by the ancients, and their findings live on today in books and accessories from Carmel's most unique bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, just a few doors down from the post office on Dolores near 6th, Carmel by the Sea, open 7 days a week. And now, tonight's Taj Express, brought to you by the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in Carmel.
The Pilgrim's Way also wants you to know that they can now duplicate your cassette tapes while you wait.